If you guys just want to go ahead and open up into your Bible and look at the end of Genesis, let's just turn there. It's just so sweet. If you go to about chapter 40 or so, by now, poor Joseph, he has just been through the mill. He was, you're going to go to chapter, let's start at 45. I mean, actually, let's back way up. Okay, if you go to chapter 37, you see Joseph, okay? He was the son of Jacob. Now, Jacob is the one that was, you know, he's part of the inheritance of Israel to have this huge land and promise, you know? So he was a shepherd, and he had his son Joseph, and his son had this dream. And so the dream included this. It was something that his brothers were extremely jealous over because he was being given authority. And he didn't know what it was and he didn't know what it meant, but it was something that was from God. And he was a prophet and God spoke to him through his dreams. And he came and told his dad, and you know, his dad was kind of like, "Oh, you, I'd keep that to myself," you know? But obviously he didn't. What happened was his brothers found out, they kept the matter into their heart, bitterness grew. And this is why there's such a parallel between Cain and Abel. All these people, all this time, all these years later, they had not learned about what to do when God's doing something in the life of your sibling. And if you have those feelings of jealousy and bitterness and hatred and strife, what do you do with those things? So this scripture that's back today for us, Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 and 19, this is just a reminder. I mean, if there's a scripture for you guys just to put up on your refrigerator or make a pretty sign out of it or whatever, or take it out of the book and frame it, this is one of the ones, because this reason right here, when you look at the story of Joseph, I mean, what did they do? What did those brothers do? They took him, they bound him, they sold him as a slave, they got rid of him. I mean, they threw him, they left him for dead, then he became a slave, then he was thrown in a pit. There's all these things. I mean, it's amazing that he didn't sit in that prison and just curse his family. But what he did was he continued to seek the Lord. And then God honored him. And you guys, as you go through the rest of Genesis, he was honored. He was put in a place of power. He was the second in command over all of Egypt. And then the story thickens with plot. And his heart was to reconcile with his family. But he also wanted to make sure that there was trust built back. And that where were these guys now after all these years? He wanted to make sure and test them. And make sure, wow, I'm going to see what they do with Benjamin. Because that was the special boy. What are they going to do? There's this whole thing. You got to read it. It's so good. It's just so good. And the thing is he wasn't doing that to be mean. They didn't know that Joseph was Joseph. So they were like, "Dad, Dad, this is what's happening. This is terrible. We're in big trouble. We know you're going to hate us. This is horrible," all this stuff. And Jacob was like, "I can't lose another son. I cannot lose another son." And we feel like that as parents, don't we? When we've lost, some of you have lost greatly, and you don't want to trust God because you're afraid you might lose another. Whatever that thing is, whether it's a relative or a child, trusting God is what this is about. Trusting God was the issue for Joseph, and he chose to trust God. And God amazingly worked through him to do incredible things. Trusting God was what it meant for his brothers to actually have to go back and spill it all out to the dad. So then later, when you go to about, there's a famine. You guys, if you've read it, there's a famine. Things are terrible. But God had been using Joseph to help the people so that they would survive, so that Egypt would survive. And they did such a good job that they not only survived, but they were able to share with others at the same time and probably make a pretty good profit. You know what I mean? It's actually a good business model. Hey, God gives you a dream. You store it for 7 years. When there's 7 years of famine, 100% profit. Nobody else did that, you know? So God blessed monetarily. He blessed him spiritually in so many ways. So Jacob's family was honored, but do we think he was honored because of Joseph, or do we think he was honored because of God's plan through the people of Israel? It always boils down to who God is. What is God doing? And he is all about fulfilling his promises. And when you look at Joseph being symbolic of Jesus, at the end of Joseph's life, what he had his faith. He had his faith in knowing that there was a land they were going to go to, and he said, "Take my bones. I'm about to die, but you take my bones," because he trusted God that much. He knew, even when he was in prison, wow, I don't know how this is actually going to work out, but it's going to work out because God gave a promise to my people. And ladies, that's the mindset as moms that we can do. Taking that thought captive that we have, taking that doubt that we might have, and instead placing praise in place of it. Even tonight during worship, I was just reminded of how fragile and delicate and yet powerful our minds are to be able to praise God. When we praise the Lord, Satan cannot get in there and have dominion, you know? In Joseph's life, he was able to praise God, and Satan was not able to get in and rip him off. And ultimately, his family. One of the most beautiful sections where I just love it so much is the idea of, and it ties in with reconciliation. And Jacob, of course, ends up passing away. But there's this beautiful part where, I just want to read it to you because it's so beautiful. Oh yeah, it's chapter 45. Verse 1, then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. And then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. And when they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you, a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So ladies, when we look at that story, again, getting back to this man is a symbolic of Christ. When we take our sin and we come to Christ, that is his response. If there's anything you can teach your kids, whether they're teenagers and they're in the middle of rebellion, if they're doing stupid things, if they're looking at bad things, understand that this is God's heart towards each one of us. Towards me, towards you, towards your husband, towards your children. Teach them this day and night. Teach. And don't be ashamed of the gospel. It is the good news. The gospel means good news. And it's a part of your life to share that with your kids. Now, I share that story with you so that we can back up to Genesis chapter 2 and get into a little bit of nitty-gritty with Abel and Cain. So in Genesis chapter 2, it's very quickly, it just breezes by. Genesis chapter 4. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. In verse 1 of chapter 4 in Genesis. And she said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Just moving on a little bit. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Now just note that. Note those two differences. Note their two responses. Note their two hearts. It's huge. And so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. This scripture jumped out at me when I was raising kids, when my son Joey was, you know, young and learning, just tough guy. I think maybe I've shared with you guys, I don't remember, but you know, there's always some kind of a cultural bent, like, oh, world peace, and like, let's have our children not love guns or whatever. So Brett was like, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. But I thought, well, let's just give it a try. Let's just see, you know, maybe let's just teach him a less violent, you know, way. But here I am teaching him also about David and Goliath and getting a guy's head chopped off and all that stuff. So my little sweet Joey, he's big and now, but like he actually had an outfit kind of like this one, put a little belt around it, and he had a shorts on, and he was David, you know? And so what did he do? He went in the backyard, and he found a stick, And it was just so funny to me because I thought, this is just so funny. I mean, I don't want him to know about guns, but he has figured it out. He's figured out guns and swords and knives and all that stuff, just using junk around, you know, the fallen limbs or whatever. So it's just in there, right? And so he's just learning how to just be a dude and all the dude things that are fun and all that stuff. But I just remember reading this scripture and it popped out at me as the Lord just graciously showing me, this is it for what we need to be showing our kids and for myself. Sin is crouching at your door, but you must master it. Now, Joey's a big guy and he does jiu-jitsu and he is a master at that. He pulls the moves and he can get people down and you can do things like knock people out and all that stuff. But and it's legal. But they do tournaments and they have fun and all that stuff. It's good self-defense. And we've got different guys around here that love it, you know, that are security guys and all that stuff. And it's great. It's a good workout. There's girls that are into it too and all this kind of stuff. I've learned tons of stuff by this. But bottom line is, you're not going to be any good at it if you don't work on it and if you don't master it. And so that's something for Joey and for his class of, you know, people that he goes to the mat with. They continually practice, they continually work on that in order to master it. Because if they don't, what happens? They're on the wrong side of the mat and they get taken out. Well, you transfer this over to what was going on with Cain and Abel. You had Cain who was born and you had Abel later. Abel tilling the ground, Cain doing the fields with the livestock. He did not follow the order of what God had. It's not that Cain was displeasing to God and that Abel was just the favorite. It wasn't that. It is, in essence, it is what his name is made of, and I'll just read it to you. From some people have asked me, what Bible do you use? This, I love this Bible. It's my NIV. Brett got it for me years and years ago, and I'll tell you exactly what it is because you will love the study notes and you'll just love to spend time learning and reading. So it's the New Scofield Study Bible, and the editor was the original C.I. Scofield, Doctor of Divinity, from 1843 to 1921 is when he lived. So you look at his notes, and it's just beautiful, you know. So some of the things that he says about Cain is a type of the mere man on the earth. His religion was destitute of any adequate sense of sin or need of atonement. Now you think about that. Think about what is going on right now. We've talked about critical race theory. We've talked about Marxism and how those things are. What is the main problem with that stuff? It's devoid of God. It's making it up on their own. And now it's flying all around our culture and our society and becoming a part of the workplace and all of this stuff. We live in America. We have freedom of speech. We have freedom of religion. Do not go anywhere without putting your helmet on, reading God's word, and saying to yourself, you know what? I believe this, and that is okay, because thank God, ladies, we live here. There are countries where you are not allowed to think anything except the way Cain thought, and Cain, the way he thought, was without God, and that was the problem with Cain. His religion was destitute of any adequate sense of sin or need of atonement. See, for the Christian, we recognize our need for atonement, and we walk in that need, and our atonement is only done by Christ on the cross. And that is where we have to land every day. Every morning we wake up, we have a need for atonement. Every day your kids wake up, they have a need for atonement. Every single day that you live, your home needs atonement. It's beautiful. The picture is beautiful. But it could not be more painfully touching to read about Cain and Abel and compare to what we see every day going on in society. Because clearly, we have gone the way of Cain right now. Not you particularly, but right now, culturally. He then goes on to say, this religious type is described in 2 Peter 2. Seven things are said of him. He worshipped in self-will. He was angry at God, refused to bring a sin offering, murdered his brother, lies to God, becomes a wanderer, is nevertheless the object of divine solicitude. That's the story of Cain and Abel. There ended up being a murder out of rejection, jealousy, self-will, pride, and really disobedience to God. So you go clear to the end towards Genesis, and you think, wow, God's promise to his people shows that God is faithful, because Jacob didn't do so good at telling his kids, okay, we don't murder our siblings. Okay, that's something we just don't do. Okay, so You see what I'm saying? Like, it's, wow. We have generation after generation in the book of Genesis where you should feel better about your life because there's a lot of dysfunction happening, and God knows, you know, God knows about our dysfunction. He is not surprised by it. He understands, but he always provides a way to atonement because his promise is true and he is faithful. Just like he had already promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He gets to Jacob. Jacob didn't really pass on, you know, what was going on with history too well. Come on there, buddy, you know. But God was faithful, and he was going to carry out his promise and still is to this day going to carry out his promise through his people, Israel. Does that make sense? Okay, so now when you get to the end of Genesis then, and now the people, what happens? Joseph says, I'm about to die, but take my bones. When we're out of this land, you take my bones. We're going to go out ahead. Joseph didn't know exactly what was going to happen. At least we don't know that for sure. But it was not too long after that that then the multiplication of the people happened with the children of Israel. And they grew strong and mighty. And Pharaoh turned them into slaves. I mean, that's how they became enslaved. They were down in Egypt, which is a type of the world. And they were enslaved for hundreds of years. And when they were freed, they took Joseph's bones. And that's faith. That is faith. Looking at Hebrews 11, tell your kids these stories about these great men and women of God who trusted God in season and out of season. Whatever state that their country or their world or their home was in, whether they were enslaved or whether they were set free, God's word is true and he is good and he will lead us to where he needs to lead us because his promises will never be thwarted. God's word remains. It's so good. It's so good. So my prayer for you guys is that now as we jump into the Ten Commandments, you'll just consider that. You'll consider all this dysfunction. You'll consider these people that were, wow, they kind of were on their own, you know, for like a few hundred years. And they now were going to step out and they were going to learn how to live. And it's a little bit like when your kids are young and you are holding them to learn how to walk. And then the day you let go, and are they going to fall or are they going to get it? When they learn how to ride their bike and you take off the training wheels and they might fall and they might scratch themselves. The scary part is driving. Whew, that's a big one. When they actually leave and you actually cannot shut off that car and they're there and then all of a sudden they're not there. And as a mom, your heart, you have to trust, you know, wow, they're actually driving. And then you figure out they can go to the store for you every day. So it works out, you know. Knock yourself out. Just don't kill yourself or anybody else and we're good. You know, because thankfully we've got insurance. Hopefully it's kind of legal. But there's scary things that we do in our life in the phases that our kids go through. And I don't think it's much unlike the children of Israel. So what does God do? He allows them to have order. So over this next week, you're just going to be going through and contemplating that kind of stuff. And you're going to say, wow, so they really did need to be reminded that they really did only need and were only supposed to only worship God. No idols, no anything left behind. And you're going to read about the calf incident. And that's the golden calf. I call it the calf incident in the book because they were told rules. And then by the time, literally, this is just like you with your kids. Moses turns around for 2 seconds. He comes back and they're worshiping a golden calf. And there's fornication and there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, is that not like how it is? Not as bad, but is that not how it is with, you know, you turn your back for 1 second and you're like, what are my kids doing? They did not listen to one thing I said, you know. Smash goes the Ten Commandments. Okay, we'll print those again just so you know how to actually do it. So this week is going to be good for you guys because it will help you. Teach your kids. Have them memorize the Ten Commandments. Have you guys memorize the Ten Commandments. First of all, it's good for your brain. Second of all, it will actually start helping you ring true why we have law in our country. Our founding fathers were amazing individuals, in spite of what's being said with like pop culture right now and pop literature and fake literature and all that stuff. For those men to be where they were in the timing of where they were, to understand world history the way that they did, to be self-educated the way so many of them were, to have a heart for God the way many, many, many of them did. Brett and I know a little bit about that time period of history. I had a relative who fought in the Revolutionary War. It's meaningful to me. Brett had a relative, Jacob Broom, who signed the Constitution. For him to do that was him putting his life at risk. To stand up against the government like that was a death sentence. So it did not come as a surprise to them that what the cost was. But who would ever make a document that really didn't really mean anything, for all eternity. Why would you do that? If you really were just a baseless Cain-type individual in your thought, why would you want to lay your life down only for a king that was far away when you really could have just kind of kept moving on and sort of had a Cain mentality and just not have God in it? It just doesn't make sense to me. So I really am a proponent of understanding that our founding fathers loved God. Most of them really loved God and worshiped Christ. So when you read the Ten Commandments, you look at the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you see the structure of our law and our system in our government, and it makes sense. But we also have to realize that there's sinners running this country. There's sinners in our homes. We ourselves are sinners, and we will break those laws. So should we try to keep those laws? Absolutely, we should try to keep those laws. We shouldn't not try to keep those laws, but we also should just not be surprised when those laws are broken, because unjust people are trying to keep these laws. But still, you as moms, just because you make the rules to unjust kids, so to speak, doesn't mean your rules aren't right. They are right. So this week, I am thrilled that you guys get to spend some time just praying and asking God, Lord, what is this for my family? How can I integrate this into our life? Why is this meaningful to us? How does this help me with my neighbor? How does this help me with certain things of teaching concepts to my kids? For instance, personal property. Do we really want to have our stuff stolen? No. But God says, not once but twice, he says, don't steal and don't covet. Those are two huge things for you guys to be talking to your kids about. Do not steal and do not covet. God cares about our property. He cares about capital. He cares about how hard you work, and he wants it respected, and he wants us to respect others. Those are the sweet spots in the Bible when you say, wow, God, wow, he really knows what he's doing. Yeah, he's God. But when you actually pin it down and start tying it in to teaching your kids the way that they should go, the how they should walk, morning, noon, and night, be teaching them, talking to them, it will become something to where it's acceptable to them, not in a condemning way, but in a way that brings order and real freedom, true freedom. I hope that tonight, when we break up into groups, you guys will be able to have some conversation about that. We're going to end a little bit early so that you have a few more minutes to talk, because we didn't meet last week, and we have lots to pray about, too. So I just pray for you guys, and I just pray blessing on the rest of your night. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I just thank you so much for the way that you love us, for the way that you give us order, for the time that you have taken through all of these thousands of years, Lord, to have your word recorded for us, so that we can learn more about you and walk with you and love you. We just pray for our families. I pray for these small groups now, Lord, that they would benefit by this time together with their group leaders. I pray, Lord, that where there are those who are feeling downtrodden, that you would break through that, Lord. We praise you. I ask that you would help the ladies to remember to speak out your name in praise this week, Lord, to call upon your name. You're so good to us. I thank you for this time that you've given us tonight. And I pray blessing now and safety when everyone breaks up and drives home. Lord, I pray you'd bless our families, our husbands, and Lord, the babysitters. Just be with everyone, Lord. We just pray for blessing and that we would walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.